Well, now, we received a wedding invitation this last week. And looking at some of your faces, you may have done as well, some of you. But, of course, it reminds me of those very important little letters that are inserted at the end. Doesn't matter how grand the wedding invitation is, how the words are padded out, those four letters at the end are crucial. RSVP. In other words, the senders of that invitation want you to come, but it is most essential that you let them know you are coming. And that really was the way this sermon came about, thinking about RSVP. Because I have a text for you this morning, and I trust it may speak to you, as it certainly spoke to me. A very familiar text. It's Matthew 11, verse 28. The words of Jesus: "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." We've been reading about it in the Psalm 62, as a preparation for the word appears more than once. And of course, there, that hymn that Stephen chose just now reminds us of that burden we may have, that rest we have, but if we take it to the Lord in prayer, it makes a difference. So here's the invitation, which I would like to describe as a universal invitation that Jesus speaks when he says, "Come to me, all of you." Jesus stands before the human race, every member, and issues this wonderful, this warm invitation. No matter how life may be to you, how stressful, there is something that can happen when we respond to the invitation that is given to us. "Come to me," says Jesus, "and I will give you rest." We may be weighed down by all sorts of burdens, and in the case of these and first hearers, it was, of course, religious rules, religious regulations that were imposed on them by their rabbis. We get the message in Matthew 23 where Jesus says these men tie up heavy loads on their people and put them on men's shoulders. There was too much of the restriction of religion. Heavy loads, it's described as here. But whatever the burden that you carry, to all of us, Jesus offers rest if we respond to his invitation. A rest that spells peace and joy, a rest that brings relief and renewal. Wonderful truth, wonderful message for any day, for any age. And of course, when we respond to Christ's invitation, as it goes on in verse 29, we take up his yoke. A yoke, of course, is that wooden collar that joins a pair of oxen so they can pull heavy loads together. So in partnership with Christ, we're given a new strength to cope with life's stresses and strains. And throughout the Gospels, of course, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, there is this emphasis on our Lord's ministry that is always shown towards helping the poor. There we are praying, as Hazel led us, concerning the Samaritan's purse. But that was, of course, our Lord's ministry, again and again, going out of his way to help the poor and the maimed, helping the sick and the blind. He wanted to show that God truly is concerned by the cares of this world. There was nothing then in superficial about this invitation. Jesus saying, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." So that's the universal invitation. Jesus stands before us and issues it. Come. But what I want to just also apply is, of course, that invitation comes in a personal way as well. There's a personal aspect to it. And I want to take five references out of the Gospels that just apply that and illustrate what I'm meaning. So the first one is John 1:39. Where the words of Jesus are, "Come and see. Come and you will see." Who was he speaking to? He was speaking to Andrew. Andrew was a young man who was a seeker after truth. He was a disciple of John the Baptist. And Andrew heard John say, when Jesus came into their vicinity, "Look, the Lamb of God." And Andrew was so intrigued that he wanted to know more. So he went up to Jesus and asked where he was staying in order to talk about important matters. And so Jesus said, "You come and see. Come and you will see." And their conversation must have convinced Andrew, because the moment he left Jesus, he went straight to his brother Simon and he said, "Simon, we have found the Messiah." So there is Jesus issuing that "come." And a man responds and something wonderful happens. First example. Second one is Luke 19:5. Anybody guess where we're at? Luke 19:5. No one's going to tell me. Remember Zacchaeus? The little man, we gather he was little because that's why he shinned up a sycamore fig tree, in order to see Jesus who was passing by in procession. And it was Jesus who paused at that moment at that tree, and he looked up and saw this little fellow. I always think it's amazing because he must have been middle-aged. Imagine him shinning up that tree. Must have been quite a sight. But Jesus said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So there was Zacchaeus up that tree, and he was told to come down. He had to cease being that curious onlooker. He had to come down out of his observation post and welcome Jesus into his home and into his life. And when he did this, again, changes took place. A radical life change took place, especially in that man's life when it affected money. That he obviously was a bit naughty with his handling of his tax affairs, because he was a tax man. He took more than he should have done. But things changed, all revolving around this invitation. Come, come down, Zacchaeus. If he'd stayed up there, nothing would have happened. But he came down, welcomed Jesus into his house, and his life was transformed. That personal invitation made faith personally real for Zacchaeus on that day. So, Andrew, Zacchaeus. What about Mark chapter 10, verse 17? That records the moment when someone came to Jesus with a most searching question. Wouldn't it be wonderful if that question was repeated in our day and age? Somebody outside the church coming to ask this question: what must I do to inherit eternal life? Wonderful question to ask. So Jesus mentions to this chap the commandments, and the man responded, Mark 10, verse 20, "Teacher," he said, "all these I've kept since I was a boy." And Jesus was impressed. The gospel says, Jesus looked at him and loved him and said, "One thing you lack, go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." Obviously, this young man possessed great wealth. And before he could come, he had to first hear the conditions of his discipleship. That was particular to him, personal to him. He had to give away his treasure and with the proceeds give to the poor. They were the conditions of his discipleship. But it underlines for us there is a cost. We come to Jesus, but we must consider there is a cost involved. So there's the third example. Jesus said, "Come, follow me." Mark chapter 1, verse 17 is our fourth example. It was the day when Jesus was walking along the lake shores of Galilee and came across these fishermen and once more used the verb "come." "Come," he said to them, "and follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Now this again was Andrew and Simon. And we can't put ourselves in their shoes simply by downing our tools and leaving everything behind and going to follow Jesus just like that. And of course we could add, a few of us will face the experiences they encountered and their eventual martyrdom. But for us, certainly, there's still the call to follow. "Come, follow me," said Jesus. To follow him in the daily routine of life. How does that apply as we think of this new week ahead of us? How is it going to challenge us? Well, maybe it's like the prayer that Paul offered for the church in Philippi. Philippians 1, verse 9. He prays that their love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that they may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless unto the day of Christ. There's your challenge. We all face it, to be pure and blameless day by day, at work, at play, at home, wherever we are, to be pure and blameless. There's the challenge of Christian discipleship. Jesus didn't say casually, come, follow me and do what you like. Come, follow me. Take up your cross. Deny yourself. Follow me. There's a cost in following Jesus. So there's the fourth example. But before we move on, I said, of course, it probably won't be our experience to go through what Andrew and Simon had to go through, which was eventual martyrdom. That may not be our experience. But friends, I would just remind you that we mustn't forget elsewhere in the world today, at the very moment of my speaking, Christians are going through a torrid time. In The Spectator a few weeks ago, there was an article that said this: 11 Christians are killed somewhere in the world every hour. 11 Christians are killed in the world 7 days a week, 365 days a year, for reasons related to their faith. In effect, the world is witnessing the rise of a new generation of Christian martyrs. The carnage is on such a vast scale that it represents arguably the premier human rights challenge of this era. We thank God for the freedom of religion we have in this land to come into this place unhindered. Don't forget, elsewhere, that is not the case. 11 Christians are killed somewhere in the world every hour. There is a cost in following Jesus. Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, you must take up your cross, deny yourself, and come follow me. Four little examples of the verb come. One more, I said. Five. I'm looking at John 11, verse 43. Jesus is outside a dead man's tomb. Inside, there's a coffin with a corpse. And Jesus stands outside that tomb and shouts out in a very loud voice, Lazarus, come out. And he did. That was the moment when Jesus Christ, with great authority, brought a man from death back to life. And it wasn't, of course, the only time he did such a miraculous feat. There was a widow's son in the village of Nain, Luke chapter 7, where it tells us he went up and touched the coffin, and those carrying it stood still. And he said, young man being the corpse in the coffin, I say to you, get up. And the dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. Second miraculous occurrence. And the third one is, of course, the little girl of 12, Jairus' daughter. She was sick, she died. And Jesus took her by the hand and said to her, Talitha cum, which means, little girl, I say to you, get up. And that little dead girl stood up and walked around. The words of Jesus contain authority and power. The power of the spoken word. And of course, it remains true today. It's our constant hope. The words of Jesus are full of power and authority. Jesus said, John 11:25, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Here then is the secret of the Christian life. It comes from a personal response to Christ's gracious invitation. It's summed up by the Apostle Paul, who heard that word come on the Damascus Road, and he responded and became the apostle we know as the founder of so many churches in the early years. But it was Paul who, writing to the church at Galatia, said, "It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Come." What a simple word, come. We all know what it means, but that's what Jesus does as he stands here before us. Come. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. Whatever that burden is, and I will give you rest. He issues that personally to you, to me. Come. Not just once, of course, it's day by day, as long as we're living. He keeps saying to us, come, come to me, and I will give you rest, peace, joy, relief, refreshment. Come. But remember that wedding card. There's still an RSVP. We have to come and respond ourselves in our own time, in the way that we know is the response that he's waiting for. Because he does. He waits for our response. Let's pray. Especially let's pray for anybody who's particularly burdened this morning in this place, that they'll come and turn to him. Turn over that problem, burden. And anybody who's never come in an initial stage of responding in faith and belief, accepting Jesus as Lord and Saviour. If that somebody is you, and maybe this morning this is the time you want to give your life to Christ, then just do that. He says, come, and you say, I will come. RSVP. And if that somebody is here this morning and you wish to share what you've done in your heart, then do please speak to me or Hazel or Richard. Let them know that transaction has taken place.